don't know, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. So coming off of a bit of a crappy Thursday night football game, I want to claw your eyes out watching those New Orleans Saints play. And a pretty crappy game from a betting perspective as well. Went 0-2 with the picks there last night. We've gotten skunked in a couple of these primetime games so far, but it otherwise has been a really good season of NFL betting here on Before You Bet. So we're going to look to bounce back here right into Sunday on today's show. I think we have 10 total picks for the NFL, so an absolute avalanche of picks for you guys. We've had two guests today, Ro and Hitman. Before we bring Ro in, guys, if you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. Hit that like button right down there. Hit the subscribe button right down there. Lots of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. If you're in the live chat, let us know what bets you like this weekend. If you're watching the replay, hit up that comment section. Let us know what bets you like this weekend. Let's bring in my guy here. First guest of the day, co-worker here at Covers, the pride of Halifax, Nova Scotia, Ro. So last night, Ro, I don't know if you caught very much of the game. It wasn't as close as the final score indicated, but I caught myself in my head kind of complaining about it. You know, this game stinks, Derek Carr. Then I need to stop myself. A lot of people were complaining. I think we take these games for granted a lot because we see it all the time on social media throughout the summer. People are just dying for the NFL to come back. I would take Jets versus Giants every day of the week in the summer. I don't care, you know, 10-6 type of games. So did you catch the game last night? And if so, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely watched the game. You know, Thursday night football, who isn't any football fan is going to be tuning in. And, you know, I would say the biggest thought is, yeah, I mean, the game went over. We've been, you know, making a lot of money betting the unders on these primetime games. Yeah, the game went over. But, you know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, there's a lot of kind of bad luck that kind of led to some of those points. It was certainly a weird game as far as the final score would suggest. And, I mean, these Saints just have a ton of issues there. I mean, this is, you know, a team that's supposed to be good on defense, but they had quite a few hiccups last night. And then you look at the offense and it just can't score, especially in the red zone. Some terrible play calling there as well. You know, obviously the drop from Foster Moreau doesn't help at all. Why are you throwing to your third string tight end when it comes down to that sort of thing anyway? So, you know, lots of things to take away, but one of them is that I cannot trust the Saints team at all.
Yeah, pretty rough look from Derek Carr yelling at everyone that he could possibly yell at in that game. Rough look from him. So I was on the under in that game. Not going to beat myself up too bad over the over hitting. Mm-hmm. We saw a pick six, out of the ordinary. A muff punt led to a field goal. The fake punt led to a field goal. So we live to bet another day. That day is today. So Ro, let's get right into it. I'm going to hit lead off for us and start like I normally do on the Friday show here. My 6-point teaser for Sunday, I will be pairing a couple of birds. Give me the Falcons tease up to +8.5 with the Seahawks tease down to 1.5. So we are crossing the key numbers here for both of these teams, crossing 3 and 7 for both of them. Atlanta's defense will be able to keep Tampa Bay from pulling away by multiple scores. Both of these offenses absolutely stink. This should be a low scoring game. One of the lowest totals of the week, down to 37. At some sports books, I think the Bucs will struggle to move the football. They rank dead last in yards per rush attempt. Falcons hanging around in the top 10 in that category defensively, while also ranking second in opponent third down conversion percentage. The other leg, the Seahawks hosting the Cardinals. Seattle's defense, pretty good. And I think this game sets up pretty good for Geno Smith too. So the Seahawks defense ranks third in yards per play allowed over their last three games for the season. Number one in the NFL in yards per rush attempt allowed. So I think Arizona will have trouble moving the football. And I think this game sets up nicely for a Geno Smith bounce back game. He is going up against a Cardinals defense, generating the least amount of pressure in the NFL while allowing the fifth most yards per pass attempt. So he's coming off a bit of a bad game there in Cincinnati. You could say that maybe he did cost some in that game against the Bengals, where I did think the Seahawks did outplay the Bengals. And Seahawks, I don't expect them to be playing down to the competition. They are coming off a loss. They do have to get back on track here. So we will be pairing the Falcons and the Seahawks on a 6-point teaser Ro, there's a prop from one of these games that you have on your radar. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so let's keep it with the Falcons game. I'm looking at the over on the receiving yards for Drake London. That opened at 46.5, up to 47.5 or 48.5. I love that number. I mean, we're seeing a really deflated number simply because of how quiet he was at the start of the year. But that's when Arthur Smith simply wasn't throwing the ball. You could see that, you know, Desmond Ridder was barely throwing the ball downfield for the first few weeks of the year. But Smith has kind of opened up the playbook over the last couple of weeks. He had Ridder throw for more than 300 yards in the last two games. And London, of course, is his favorite target. Nine catches for 125 yards last week, six catches for 78 yards in week five. And, you know, part of the reason they have been throwing more is because opponents have been really focusing on stopping the run. And that's probably going to be the case again on Sunday, since the Bucs are third in the league in defensive rush EPA. Now, the Bucs aren't nearly as good against the pass. They're 26th in the league in passing yards allowed per game, allowing about 247 yards per game. And they've also been allowing a ton of yards to top wideouts and opposing teams. They've allowed more than 100 yards to an opponent's number one receiver in four or five games this year. And like I said, I mean, this number is really, really low, 47.5 here. And if you go back to the season finale last year, London went off for 120 yards against Tampa Bay. So a really good matchup for him here at a really nice number as well. So give me the over.
The over, checking in on the live chat, Josie Quevedo says, greetings, guys. Greetings. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the show. Okay, so on last week's show, I gave out four unders. All four unders hit. We have a duo of unders to give out today. So let's get right into those. We're going to start with the Commanders and Giants under 37.5 points. This game going down in New Jersey. The under 17-4-2 in the Giants' last 23 home games. These teams have a great tradition of going under when they play in New York. It's hit in 18 of the last 23 matchups between these teams in New York. Actually, the Giants have scored just 3 points in two games. And check this out. In New York's games this season against the Cowboys, 49ers, Seahawks, Dolphins, and Bills, their offense has scored one total touchdown. Now we dig into some stats. Both teams having a lot of trouble moving the football. They're ranked 24th and 32nd in yards per play. The Commanders are 24th on third down. Giants are 30th in the red zone. And each of these offensive lines has been absolutely awful. A complete and total disgrace. They have allowed 77 combined sacks this season. That's the most and second most sacks on the season. Commanders defense, a few bright spots, are pretty good at getting to the quarterback. 19 sacks on the year. And the Giants defense, I don't know, maybe something to build off of there on Sunday night. They held the Bills to just 14 points. They haven't exactly played the easiest schedule of opposing offenses. The 49ers, the Dolphins, played the Cowboys, the Seahawks. So who knows? Maybe we could see a similar performance from the Giants, but I do like that one to go under 37.5. Next up, another under. Browns, Colts, give me under 40.5 for this game. So the Browns offense has been really bad, regardless of who the quarterback is. Deshaun Watson back at practice, so he might play. But they are having a lot of trouble moving the football. 28th in yards per play. We know the Browns will want to run the football. They run it at the fifth highest percentage in the NFL. And here's the thing. This is the strength of the Colts defense. So I think we're going to see a lot of long third down attempts for the Browns. And what do you know? They rank 31st in third down conversion percentage. Cleveland's games, very low scoring this season. Average combined score, just 34.4 in their games. Four of their five games this season have stayed under this number of 40.5. The one that didn't was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers defense scored 14 points in that one. And I think the Colts and Gardner Minshew, they're going to have trouble finding the end zone versus this Browns defense. Maybe the best in the league. They've allowed just 7 touchdowns in 5 games. They lead the NFL in a lot of categories, generating the 6th most pressure. So Gardner Minshew, I know people love the guy, but he is not the guy. I think he's going to have trouble leading the Colts to score many points in this one. There's a team total bet you like in this one, Ro. We're somewhat aligned here.
Yeah, I mean, I love the under on the Colts team total. Sitting at 19.5 right now at a pick'em price. You mentioned that the Browns might be the best defense in the league. I would say it's not even a might at this point of the year. I think they are the most dominant defense in the league. You know, not getting as much credit maybe from the media as Miami's offense is getting, but I think they've been just as impressive. first in the league in defensive EPA. And you look at what they've done to other teams. It's not just that they've been, you know, preventing them from scoring. A lot of times they're preventing them from even getting within field goal range. They held the Bengals to 3 points, held the Titans to 3 points. Last week, they held the high-powered 49ers attack to 17 points, just 225 yards. You mentioned, you know, that game against the Steelers. That's one of only two games where they surrendered more than 20 points. And like you mentioned, two of those touchdowns were defensive touchdowns for the Steelers. So that was kind of on the Cleveland's offense fault. Same was kind of true against their other game where they let up more than 20 points. That was against the Ravens. But yeah, Dorian Thompson-Robinson threw three interceptions in that game. One of them returned to their 10-yard line. Another returned inside the 40, both of which were eventually converted into touchdowns. So, I mean, if you just look at this defense in terms of what they do, absolutely dominant. And they're taking on a Colts offense that's 21st in the league in offensive EPA. Minshew looked awful last week. He's a good backup. He does a great job of stepping in on short notice. But when defenses have a week to prepare for him, it's usually kind of a different scenario. This guy's not a great quarterback by any means. And then you look at their ground game, definitely got bottled up last week. Zach Moss regressed after a career best game. And Jonathan Taylor simply hasn't looked like he's all the way back from that injury yet. So give me the under on the Colts team total. I love the Browns defense in this spot.
All right, so some low scoring in that one. Back to me for my favorite spread bet of the weekend. I love the Rams to cover the 3-point spread at home with the Steelers in town. And the Steelers have been so incredibly lucky this season. They're way too dependent on the other team turning the ball over. They won the turnover battle 10-3 in their three wins this season. The offense scored just 4 total touchdowns in those three games. In fact, their offense has scored just 5 total touchdowns in 5 games this season. Pittsburgh defense, I think they're incredibly overrated. 24th in yards allowed per play, 27th. And yards per rush allowed. Also bad against the pass. So some good options for Sean McVay to mix it up here with this offense. Major offensive gap in this one favoring the Rams. 7th versus 27th in yards per play. Pittsburgh is 27th in the red zone. They're allowing a lot of pressure. The Rams are pretty strong in those two categories. So I think there's a pretty good chance that the Rams expose the Steelers in this one. Ro, you like a pick on the total in this game. What are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a lot of the same games this week. Reason I'm not even bringing a spread bet is because Hitman's got me covered there. I'm in alignment with his spread bet. But yeah, I'm looking at the same game here, and I love the under on the full game total. Open at about 42.5, up to 44 at some books now. Love the under at this price. You mentioned that the Steelers defense might be a bit overrated, but one thing that they do well is they bring a lot of heat off the edge. And that's something I think is going to play a huge factor in this contest. Now, the Rams offense is going to be really one-dimensional in this one. They already love to throw the ball a ton, and now they pretty much have no running backs left. Trading away Cam Akers looks like a pretty bad decision now. Kyron Williams was really starting to run the ball well, but now he's out with an injury. Their backup, Ronnie Rivers, is also sidelined. So they have really nobody to run the ball there. So they're going to have to lean on Matt Stafford. Problem with Stafford is that when he's got a clean pocket, the guy's phenomenal. But a huge drop-off when he's under pressure. Of course, any quarterback in the league isn't going to play as well under pressure, but the drop-off for Stafford is especially polarizing. You look at the numbers there. He completes 71.2% of his passes when he's kept clean in the pocket, but that number plunges to just 39.4% under pressure. Of course, the Steelers are 4th in the NFL in pass rush grade, according to PFF. The Rams, on the other hand, are 28th in pass blocking grade. So a big discrepancy there. One thing I will say, though, is I am going to be monitoring closely the situation with TJ Watt. He ended up popping up on the injury report yesterday, missed yesterday's practice with a heel injury that kind of came out of nowhere. I don't expect that to keep him out of the game, but definitely something to keep an eye on as we get closer to Sunday. Now, the other reason I love the under, of course, is that the Steelers offense is absolute trash. 29th in the league in EPA, 32nd in success rate. Matt Canada continues to be one of the worst play callers in the league. A good reason why, you really shouldn't be hiring people just because they're your friends in the NFL. Kenny Pickett hasn't really done anything this year, hasn't really shown any progression from last year, near the bottom of the league in virtually every passing category. Ground game has been non-existent as well, averaging just 3.4 yards per carry. So a lot of reasons to like the under this one. You're getting a number that isn't as low as some of the other totals we're seeing around the league over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the Steelers stink. I think they had no business winning in that game last time out over the Ravens. So yeah. I will fade them on the spread, and you will take the under in that game. Now let's wrap with the game of the week, Sunday Night Football, my Miami Dolphins in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. I think we're going to have a high scoring one, specifically in the first half. I'm going to take the first half over 24.5 points. Both of these teams come out absolutely flying, combining for an average of 34.5 first half points. The Dolphins defense getting beat up in the first half as well, though. The fifth most first half points in the NFL at 14.7 allowed. As a result, they've combined to go over the first half total in 9 of 12 games. Eagles secondary a little bit beat up in this one. Injury report doesn't look too good with Reed Blankenship and Bradley Roby missing practice yesterday. So potential for a mix of limited starters and some backups. I think they're going to have trouble keeping up with the Dolphins receivers. And this one, even if fully healthy, I think that would be an issue. Dolphins easily lead the NFL in yards per pass attempt. And the Dolphins defense, they've had it fairly easy this season, but when they have played respectable offenses, the healthy Chargers in week one, they allowed 34 to them. Then they went into Buffalo, allowed 48 points. Aside from that, they've had it pretty easy. Mac Jones, Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young. So I hate to say it, but there's potential that the Dolphins defense might not be very good. So I think this one's going to be high scoring. I specifically like a lot of the high scoring take place in the first half. So I will take the over on that. Okay, we bring Ro back in. Before we send you out the door, Ro, tell us a little bit about what you have up at covers.com and on YouTube here that the viewers can check out this week.
Yeah, I mean, big thing I cover, of course, is the CFL. Lots of interesting lines there. It's pretty much near the end of the regular season. Most of the playoff spots are determined. So really, it comes down to just really closely following the league, knowing which teams are motivated, which aren't. So definitely stay tuned. Follow my articles on covers of the CFL if you want the edge there. And of course, huge UFC card tomorrow. Yes. We both big in on that, and that's going to be starting early. So let's get in on that. Let's make some money because should be a really, really fun bunch of fights to watch.
Absolutely. I love those afternoon UFC cards. Okay, Ro, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with your bets, and we will catch you again next week.
Best of luck, Joe.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's roll into our next guest. Let's bring him in here. Hitman, our guy. There he is. What's going on, Hitman? How you doing?
Big week last week we had. So let's try to keep the momentum going for week 7.
Yeah, we crushed. I think that was our best Friday show of the season. I almost had the perfect 5-0 sweep. I was on the wrong end of that Jalen Hurts interception. I had the Eagles teased down against the Jets, so that one came back to bite me. But hey, that's betting. I win plenty of lucky ones too. People always forget about the lucky ones they win. They always want to point out the bad beats, but they never bring up. And I'm probably guilty of that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, look no further than that Raiders-Patriots game. I mean, if you had New England +3 at the end of that, I mean, what can you even say after Devontae Parker dropped that pass and the safety?
Yeah, I had the under in that game, so I had no stake on the total. So you just kind of have to laugh at that a little bit if you weren't involved in that one. So let's start with the game of the week, the Miami Dolphins in Philly. Eagles favorite by 2.5, and you like the home side here. Why do you like the Eagles to cover this number?
Yeah, I like the Eagles. I mean, just simply put, I made the game closer to 3. I still believe that the Eagles, like, let's be real, this is a team that has lost with Jalen Hurts as their starting quarterback twice in their last 20-ish something games, something around an insane straight-up number, and we're getting them under a field goal against Miami. And the Dolphins right now, I mean, are we sure that Tua can really be the Tua that we know in bad weather? Possibly a little bit of rain, going to be some wind in this game. He didn't look good in the past in some bad weather games. Last year against Tennessee is a game that comes to mind. And also some of his previous games in Buffalo as well. It's a dominant front four that can expose this weak offensive line to the Miami Dolphins, especially if Connor Williams isn't playing in this game. And we got to see when they went to Buffalo against another good front four that could keep 7 people back against these receivers. They had a lot of success, the Buffalo Bills did. So I think it's a similar matchup for this Eagles defense. I think we're getting some positive injury report news on Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson, Darius Slay in this game. Xavien Howard, look out for his status for the Dolphins. And one more thing, the Dolphins are 2nd in the NFL in soft boxes played And we got to see, if you're going to play soft boxes against this Eagles offensive line, look what happened when the Vikings tried to do that weeks ago. They're able to run all over you. They could throw all over you. So I don't think that's going to be able to work against this Eagles team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a realistic Dolphins fan, and I'll be the first to admit that they're a bit like the Dallas Cowboys in a sense that they will obliterate the bottom feeders in the league, and they face plenty of bottom feeders in the league and beat the living shit out of them. But they're a bit of a bully in a sense, is you punch them back, they don't punch you back. Look what happened in Buffalo. We saw last season in San Francisco. They lost a really bad game versus the Chargers last season. I know they came back and won in week one. But yeah, the Dolphins still have to prove that they can get over the hump against other good teams, especially on the road in a difficult environment too, in Philadelphia. We know how crazy those fans are. Could be a little cool there too with some weather having an impact. So let's look at, so that's the sexiest game of the week. One of the uglier games of the week. We have the Falcons taking on the Bucs, a bit of a tight spread here as well. You like the Falcons as an underdog, a 2.5-point dog.
Yeah, I like your teaser that you gave earlier as well, but I also like Atlanta with the spread right now. The Bucs, they can't run, and they continue to try to run on early downs. I don't know if they're going to continue to do that, but it's a team that's generated the third fewest yards before contact, and the Atlanta Falcons are seventh in yards per carry allowed to opposing running backs. So I don't think they're going to be able to run. Baker Mayfield was kind of carrying this offense throughout the first few weeks, but he kind of came back to earth last week and reminded everybody that he still is Baker Mayfield. He was 5 of 12, 4 yards per attempt when pressured. 33% of his throws under pressure were deemed inaccurate. That was a metric he was doing well in this year, but bad for his career. So I think, as I said, he's coming back to being Baker Mayfield. And it's a Falcons team that if you can take them out of their game plan of running the ball, you can have success and make Desmond, if you're making Desmond Ridder throw from behind. I don't think that this Bucs offense is explosive enough. It's a poor matchup against this Falcons defense. I think that the Falcons are going to be able to stay in their game plan of running the ball and have some success against this Bucs defense.
Okay, so let's take a look at one of your favorite props here this week. I think you played this one last week, too. Fading Rashad White, his rushing yard total, 48.5. So why do you like him to go under that number?
I'll tell you, Buccaneer fans are going to hate me because last week I played the Lions and I bet Rashad White under. This week I'm playing the Falcons. I'm betting Rashad White under. All right, so I'm actually going to go, we said 48.5 rush yards. I'm going to go to 72.5 rushing receiving yards.
Okay.
On Rashad White, as the rush yards is a little bit on the move right now. But Rashad White, only 54% of his the backfield attempts after being a workhorse previously in the year. So they might be going away from him and going to more of a split with Keyshawn Vaughn. He only has 3.3 yards per carry for the season. And as we said, the Bucs, they can't run. They have the third fewest yards before contact. This is a good matchup for this Falcons run defense. And when you look at the receiving end of everything, Rashad White not doing much in that category. He's 34th of all running backs in yards per route run. So we expect an inefficient game from Rashad White, and he could be losing some work to Keyshawn Vaughn.
Okay, let's take a look at another big game this week. No official pick needed for this one unless you want to give one. But the Lions in Baltimore taking on the Ravens. The Ravens are favored by 3 in this one. This is a big-time matchup for the Lions. This is probably the best defense they will face up until this point of the season. For the Ravens, you could say maybe this is the best offense they will face up until this point of the season. Great arguments for both sides in this one. I think we've seen the Ravens be kind of sloppy in the fourth quarter in some of their games, but the Lions look like they're for real. Do you have a lean in this game on that spread?
If we see the line get back down to 2.5, I would lean towards Baltimore. And I know a lot of people are probably playing contests and pick 'em pools where it probably is 2.5 right now. So Baltimore would interest me at that price point. I think that the weather not being good definitely affects the Lions and Jared Goff, who has a bad history and poor weather. I think it affects them more than Baltimore. And losing David Montgomery in this game, it means something. That was your guy that was going to be your bad weather between the tackles. Running back, So, and also one more thing that favors Baltimore is just a little bit of positive red zone play regression that they should face, because they've just been so bad in the red zone this year that it's just at a point where it has to get positive regression for them. So no official play at -3, but I will say if it gets to 2.5, I would definitely strong lean towards Baltimore.
Okay, so a question about totals. One of the stories so far this NFL season is the unders are hitting at a high percentage. I think it's around 60%. Maybe a bit of a reaction from odds makers, though, this week. We have three games with very low totals. We have Commanders and Giants at 37.5. Falcons, Buccaneers down to 37. I played the under on 38.5. I don't like it so much anymore. At 37, and we also have Raiders, Bears, looks like a couple of backup quarterbacks, 37.5. Do any of those low totals stand out to you either way, either on the under or the over?
Not really. You know, I kind of agree with the move on all these. I agree with the move on the Tampa under. I agree with the move on the Giants under. One of the things that's definitely playing a big factor in these is the fact that we're going to have a lot of wind in some of these games, and wind is definitely the biggest detriment towards totals, other than just like blizzard snow or downpouring rain. Wind's a big factor. So I kind of agree with a lot of these totals being bet under. But one thing I'll say to like anybody that's like looking towards like, oh, I'm going to bet the unders because they're sick, just blindly bet the unders because they're 65% during the entire season. Guess what? If we're talking about it on this show on a Friday and Twitter's talking about it on Monday, trust me, the people that are in the betting market are aware of these games going under. So I would never just say like, oh, I'm going to keep looking towards the unders. This stuff tends to come back towards 50-ish, 53, 54% during the entire season. So I would expect that at some point, probably the overs end up having some value on some of these games at some point during the season. But this week with the weather, don't know if it's the week I'm going to look to jump in.
Yeah, you still have to look at each matchup individually, right? You can't look at it from a league-wide perspective. I know primetime unders have been big this season. That doesn't mean just pound the under in a game. You still have to, you know, consider the individual matchup. So a couple handicapping advice questions for you. Now, I asked Brad Powers yesterday what stats he values the most when he's digging into these games, doing his handicapping. So when you're handicapping an NFL game, what stats are front and center for you?
I think that the two most obvious that people could look at is EPA per play. That's one of the most commonly sharp referred to statistics out there. Success rate is something that I really like, because success rate is different from like yards per play, for example, because with yards per play, it's like, say there's a third and 10. And a team gets 8 yards. You're like, oh, that's 8 yards. That's a successful play, yards per play wise, because the average yards per play is in the 5. So you're like, oh, 8 yards per play. And it could be a little bit deceiving because no, that wasn't graded as a successful play, because you pick up 8 yards on a 3rd and 10 in the first quarter in your own territory. You're punting. It's not a successful play. So I think that that is definitely a useful metric that people could use. At the end of the day, there's a lot of sharp people and also books that are also aware of stuff like success rate, EPA per play, all that good stuff. But I do think that if you're just starting out looking at handicap, rather than looking at like basic stuff like total yards, stuff like that, you could look at some of those metrics that are just a little bit more advanced and easily attainable to find.
Okay, so where do you stand on buying points? Now, it's something I've never done. A lot of sharp people out there say it's the dumbest thing you could possibly do. On the other hand, you know, there's, you know, if a guy's a $50 better and he wants to take a 3.5-point favorite to -2.5, whatever, I don't necessarily have a problem with it. But where do you stand on buying points?
You only do it if it makes mathematical sense. I'm no fun. So, I mean, if you, there is still shops, if you really shop around, you can, there's shops and there are not that many of them left, but you could buy from 3 to 2.5 for 20 cents. So -110 to -130. That could be around break even ish. So at that point, I don't dislike it. If you're paying more than 20 cents, so there's some places that are charging you just crazy amounts, 25, 30 cents, please never do that. Please, because you are getting ripped off. You're buying a $10 burger for $12. Don't do it. And also up to 10 cents around, you could still find some places, but if you're paying more than 10 cents, so minus 110 to 125, don't do it either. So there's some good tools out there. I know Unabated does good work with like telling you what the true price should be on buying these points and what it's worth. There's some good tools, but general rule of thumb in the NFL, don't pay more than 20 off the 3. Don't pay more than 10 off the 7. And any other valuations, don't buy points at all. I'm going to scream at the person that says they're buying 5 to 5.5. Don't do it.
There we go. A nice piece of advice from our guy. You got to get the most bang for your buck out there, people. So be careful if you're getting tricked into buying points. Okay, Hitman, we will leave it at that. I want to say best of luck with all of your bets, but you see the Dolphins helmet right there. You're probably right about that, but if you're wrong and the show has to take a hit, I won't be too worried about that.
Joe, I'm a Vikings fan. I went to Philly with my Viking stuff on. Can we ship you out to Philly and go with your Dolphin stuff?
You know what? I'm going to Philadelphia here in a couple of weeks to see the Dallas Cowboys game. And I don't like the Cowboys, but I want to fit in with the crowd because I'm seeing all these videos on social media of fans getting their crap kicked out of them at games. I'm going to be an Eagles fan for those 3 hours inside that stadium. You got to be careful, right?
Yeah, not the most pleasant people in the world. That's for sure.
Absolutely, my man. All right. Well, best of luck with most of your bets this weekend. Have fun watching the games, and we will catch you again next week.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, baby. Winding right down here. If you're just tuning in to the show, let's recap the picks that I gave out off the top. My favorite teaser this weekend, pairing a couple birds, Falcons +8.5, Seahawks .5. I like the under Commanders and Giants. I like the under Browns and Colts. I like the Rams to cover versus the fraudulent Pittsburgh Steelers. And I like points in the first half between the Dolphins and the Eagles. Give me the first half over 24.5. And Roe was on. He likes the under in Steelers-Rams, fading that Steelers offense. And he likes Drake London to have over 47.5 reception yards versus the Buccaneers. Okay, that does it, guys. Big-time sports weekend. And we got you covered here on the Covers YouTube channel. Of course, we just did this show with, I think we did 10 different picks for Sunday's NFL games, some big-time college football games. We have two separate videos up on our YouTube channel, me and Brad Powers. He's giving out his best bets for some of the big games and some of the under-the-radar games as well. We also have a massive UFC card going down tomorrow afternoon. Big championship fight, Kamaru Usman, Hazmat Shumaev. Ro and I did a video for that, giving out our best bets. That's up on the YouTube channel. And if you're looking for a bet on a game that we didn't cover on today's show, we do have previews and picks up for every single game this week on the Covers YouTube channel. So make sure you are subscribed. A bunch of NHL stuff, too, all right here on the Covers YouTube channel. So make sure you do like and subscribe. So that does it for today. Best of luck with your bets this weekend, unless, of course, you are fading me. Yeah, we'll see you next time. Monday, same time, same place. Best of luck. Have a good weekend. Woo!